tweet at TodaySOR.
Just 10 days now to Ireland's opening Pool A game against Scotland and Japan in the Rugby World Cup. Interest and excitement building. Hugh Cahill, you are getting ready to pack your bags and head out there next week as our RTE commentator. What's your sense? I mean, there was that catastrophic defeat. Was it 57 points to 10 in Twickenham?
15, sorry.
But then we've kind of recovered our ground, two defeats over Wales. So what is your assessment of just how the Irish team, the squad, is preparing now and prepared for this World Cup?
Yeah, it's a funny one to think back to that England game, because I remember watching at the time, and it just, there was so much that was out of kilter about the performance. Everything that you expect from an Irish team under Joe Schmidt over the last few years was missing. There was no intensity there. The defensive line was awful. The lineouts were a shambles. The scrum even wasn't great. And you were thinking to yourself, is this what's to come in Japan? And if it is, we're in serious trouble. We now know that the team had the most intense 9 days of training in Portugal in the direct lead up to that game. So they literally got off a plane from Portugal over to London, out to Twickenham to play England, and they had nothing in reserve. They were exhausted. They're after undergoing like hugely challenging training sessions, weight sessions, fitness regimes, and they were ready to send out the pitch to go and fulfil the fixture. Obviously Joe Schmidt would have liked a better performance, and the players would have liked a better performance, but I think we now know, after watching the back-to-back games against Wales, that there is a method to the madness there. There's a huge amount of science behind peaking at the right time for Scotland, and indeed for the pool stages. And the results against Wales over the last couple of weeks have shown that Ireland are on an upward graph.
Right, and again, a lot of controversy about whether he should or shouldn't have brought Devon Toner, for instance.
Yeah.
Where are you on that one?
We have to park it now. Again, to question Joe Schmidt, who's around the squad the whole time, who's watching all the players, gets all the scientific feedback and analysis. John Klein has been picked to do a job, and he is unique in an Irish sense, if that's not a weird thing to say, him being born and bred in South Africa, in that he has this huge frame, this huge power and size that Ireland traditionally haven't had over the years. You look at James Ryan, who's a fantastic second row player, Ian Henderson as well, very mobile locks, brilliant skill, great with the hands, but we don't have that kind of a bull, if you like, that can go in there and get stuck into the likes of South Africa. That's what John Klein's been picked to do. I think he's going to do a really good job at doing just that, an enforcer, if you like. And as you say, far be it for me to question Joe Schmidt's selection policy.
So the first game is against Scotland. That really is a must win, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. So, and again, just the whole signs behind peaking at the right time. Joe Schmidt knows they've got to win that opening game, and they have to win their second game against Japan. They are the two most difficult games in Pool A, and if Ireland win those, they will top the group, where they'll play either New Zealand or South Africa in the quarter final. Scotland, certainly not taking them for granted. They are capable of brilliant performances on their day, but Ireland, if they play as we know they can, and if they have over the last couple of years, you think back to New Zealand performance last year, the Six Nations the previous year as well, we should have too much for a Scotland team that, again, have been inconsistent, I suppose, over the last kind of 12 to 18 months. So win those two first games, you top the pool, and it's South Africa or New Zealand in the quarterfinals.
You're taking a victory over Russia for granted, are you?
Yeah, I am, absolutely. And the same with Samoa. Again, capable of playing well on their day, but Ireland would be too strong, absolutely too strong. Got to beat Scotland, got to beat Japan, and once that happens, I think you can kind of take a little bit of a step back and focus on the quarterfinals.
What kind of travelling support is going to be there behind the Irish?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I was talking to Bernard Jackman the other day, who had been in touch with a few of the travel companies bringing fans out for the World Cup, if you like. And after Ireland beat New Zealand in November last year, they sold 60 literally in the space of 10 minutes, because the optimism around Ireland, we're going to win the World Cup now. So I think between 5 and 10,000 expected to travel out. Obviously cost is a huge issue. It's not exactly England, which was next door in 2015. So there's that to factor in as well. But I think there is a growing sense now that because Ireland have as much strength and depth as we ever had going into a World Cup tournament, there is a sense that we will make the semi-finals for the first time ever. There will be a good amount of support.
That means getting past either South Africa or New Zealand.
Yeah, and you know what? It's a funny thing to say, Sean, and you might laugh at this, but even Brent Pope admitted this the other day. I think Ireland, on all known form this year, would rather New Zealand in a quarter-final than South Africa. That may seem bizarre, but the job that Razzy Erasmus has done over the past year, 2 years really, since he left Munster to come back to South Africa, and getting this South African team into shape. They've just won the Rugby Championship, don't forget, beating New Zealand in the process. They are huge physical men with a massive amount of power game, a massive squad now with strength and depth. They could lose four or five first team players and still replace them. So New Zealand, I think, would be the preferred option at the moment.
Right, going back to these 5 or 10,000 brave and presumably well-resourced fans going over, what kind of money are they having to pay?
I'd say, you know, you wouldn't get change, I'd say, at about €10,000 for 2 weeks. Honestly, honestly, for 2 weeks, maybe 2.5 weeks. If you're planning to go over, say, for the first two games and maybe a couple of days before and after that, I'd say you're looking at the guts of about €10,000 to travel, hotels, obviously your transfers, match day tickets, just feeding yourself.
A few social drinks.
A few sake bombs or whatever you want to have when you're over there yourself. And, you know, you're looking at that kind of cost. So it's certainly not for everyone.
Yeah, and that kind of money. But it could be the trip of a lifetime for people. Yeah. And let's hope they enjoy it and get out and get back safely and come home happy.
That's the main thing,
and not broke or broken. You've been out to Japan before. I mean, what kind of stuff are people going to be sort of taken aback by?
You know what? The culture thing is the first thing you notice over there. And there's a huge culture of respect and politeness. Not that the Irish aren't very polite, Sean, but I suppose if you're going over there looking for the crack, as we know it, as an Irish fan, you might be in for a little bit of a surprise. It'll be, the best way I could describe it would be organised fun, as far as the Japanese are concerned. Like, there isn't a huge drinking culture over there. When it is, it's quite controlled, as I say. Karaoke bars are very popular. So I'm looking forward to get Donald Lenihan up on stage and to blast out a few tunes. He was telling me actually a brilliant story of when they toured to Japan, himself and Ralph Keyes went over, good for years ago now, and they went into a big Japanese karaoke hall and they had a few beers. They're on a kind of a down day. And the next minute, the guy organising the karaoke pulled out a name, Moss Finn up on stage. So the lads had got him, you know. So up he went on stage and he says to your man organizer, have you got the green grass of home? He says to your man, and lo and behold, to his utter shock and horror, the green grass of home comes on, and Moss Finn left with no choice but to belt out this song to a room full of Japanese who hadn't a notion what song he was singing, not a single word of it, gave it welly, the whole song finishes up and silence across the room. And Moss Finn just picks up the mic and says, look at that, not a dry eye in the house. So I'm looking forward to more stories.
I wonder, can they do the banks for Donald Lennon? You have to make sure the machine is fully loaded. Exactly. It sounds like a great trip and a lot of fun will be had, and you'll be talking to us through the course of it. And,
looking forward to it, yeah.
Just one thing for people who are not going, I see the Irish Hospice Foundation, they've got this wonderful idea suggesting that people host the big rugby brunch, and they've even given a kind of a kit, dates, times, and also you have little notices, and in fact you can print off tickets to the big rugby brunch to raise funds for the Hospice Foundation.
Yeah, no, it's a great idea, and it's a really good one, because the 8 hour time difference means that a lot of the matches will be taking place in the morning Irish time. So I think the Ireland-Scotland game on Sunday morning at 8:45, so you know, it's still barbecue season here, Sean. Why not have the old barbecue at home?
We're using a scalp of this programme for one of the matches as well, I think.
Well, there you go,
on the 3rd of October, yes, our Ireland versus Russia kick-off 11:15 a.m.
There you go. So
today with Michael Corcoran for the second hour.
100%.
Good self for us.
No, it'll be great.
TV. Okay, look, that's great. Q Cal, thank you so much indeed.
Thanks,
we're talking
Sean.
Downton Abbey after the break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.